All right. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will. We're going to be looking at the book of Revelation again, Revelation 13, if you can stand together, if you're able. Revelation chapter 13. Last Sunday, we started the message we didn't get done about the coming of the beast. And so this is part two of that message. And I don't intend to do much review. If you're interested in the first part, you can see the mic in the sound booth. He'll get you a CD of last Sunday's message. Let me just use this occasion as a reminder also that all the messages that we that are preached from this pulpit are also on our church's website, and you can go to Crossroads Baptist and Google it, or go to Crossroads Baptist, Shipshawana.com. And it's CrossroadsBaptistIndiana.com. I believe it's the website number, but the address. But you can Google it, go to our church's website, and all the messages are there. They're under the archives tab, and you can look up any message. Even this morning's message will be there in a few minutes after we're done. And so thank you, Brother Mike, for all your work and getting that taken care of. And so if you have any questions about that, I think they're up there for, 6 months, something like that? Or how long are the messages on archives?
They go back quite a bit.
Do they?
Okay. Go to all sermons. They go back quite a bit.
All right. Anyway, just mention that to you. Revelation 13, we're going to start reading verse number 1 again. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, obviously, just a brief explanation here. The dragon is Satan. And what's described for us in verse 1 as the beast is the political system that the Antichrist is going to rule and reign with. The Bible says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. We alluded to that scripture this morning in the Sunday school hour, and that means authority was given him to continue 42 months or 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth to blasphemy in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." In other words, all authority. He is going to have world governing authority that's given to him. And no doubt the United Nations will dub him and use their authority to pronounce the Antichrist the premier global world leader, which lots of people in the world today think that we need. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises, the Lord said, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but they're ravening wolves." That's always been Satan's modus operandi, if you will. And the Antichrist and the false prophet, rather, here is going to look like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. In other words, he's going to have a religious appearance, but what comes out of his mouth is anything but gospel. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." In other words, the false prophet which is the second beast, is going to cause the world to worship the Antichrist. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, for his number is 666. Father, today we are thankful once again for being gracious and allowing us to live another week since we were here last. Lord, we know that when the rapture takes place, that the world will become different instantly overnight. And you said now is the day of salvation. Call ye upon him while he is near. And Lord, I know that it's never easier to get saved than today. It'll be so much more difficult during the tribulation period when there is open season against the gospel, against the word of God, against God himself, against anybody who professes to make any mention of God. Lord, we're thankful for the relative peace that we enjoy in this present country. We're thankful, Lord, for how the gospel has had a tremendous impact upon our nation and subsequently upon the world, as many missionaries from America have gone out to many places, the far-flung countries of the world, and spread the light of the gospel. And so we're thankful today for the opportunity to be here, and I pray that you might bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. One thing I thought about in the preparing for this message this morning, I was really kind of struck. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe we ought to give the devil his due. I don't believe we ought to make much about, we're not making much about the devil. It might interest you to know, even though we're preaching about the beast or the Antichrist, that really quite a bit in the Bible about him. We have the book of Revelation mentions the Antichrist, not just here in 13, but other places as well. And so you have Revelation, you have the book of Daniel that talks about the Antichrist. Paul the Apostle warns about the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians. John writes about Antichrist. The Lord himself warned us about the Antichrist and how that when they would see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So lots of people, I mean, there's a lot of things in the Bible that not much detail is given to. And we think, well, why doesn't the Bible say more about this? But when it comes to the devil, it might surprise you that God actually does, and not just the Antichrist, but the devil himself. In fact, we read the very dawn of creation, Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says about the devil that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So right away we have an adjective describing how the devil works. He works very subtly without detection. In fact, so much so without detecting him that Eve was deceived. And so all down through time we have this description of Satan, and the Bible actually talks quite a bit about the Antichrist. And so where the Bible puts emphasis at, we're trying to be faithful to that emphasis as well. Not that we are interested in worshiping the devil, that's for certain, but rather of warning about him and the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is the first beast that Revelation 13 talks about. And the Bible says that he comes out of the sea. And then the Bible says that there's a second beast that comes out of the earth. And the Bible differentiates between the first beast and the second beast. The first beast is the Antichrist. The second beast is called the false prophet. And Satan is a counterfeiter, and we know that there is a holy trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, and yet three distinct persons. And I can't explain the Trinity. There's not a theologian on earth that can explain the Trinity. We simply believe what the Bible says. We may not understand one God, three persons, but that's what the Bible teaches about God. I don't understand how the worlds got here, but the Bible says through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke them into existence. I simply accept what the Bible says. That's called faith. I don't have to understand it. I can just believe what the Bible says, and I accept it by faith. And, the Trinity of God has been, Satan will work to duplicate or to counterfeit the Holy Trinity with what we have dubbed as an unholy Trinity. You have the dragon, you have the false prophet, and the Antichrist. The dragon being Satan, the Antichrist would have his correlation with the Son of God, and the false prophet would have his correlation with the Holy Spirit. So there's a Holy Trinity and an unholy Trinity. And this unholy Trinity works together in the attempt to overthrow God. We read about this in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15, where the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And Lucifer is not the morning star. Christ is called the bright morning star. Lucifer is simply called the son of the morning. You can't conflate those two terms. They're two different terms, and they refer to two different people. There are those who want to say Lucifer and Christ are the same thing because they're both called the morning star. Christ is called the morning star. Lucifer is the son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where God's at, for the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. God says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So Lucifer said this in his heart. And we talk about these as being the five I wills. That's the manifestation of pride. I. All about me. And Satan wants to make, he wants to make everything all about us. You notice in the Garden of Eden, God put man and the woman in the garden, and God had a specific purpose for them. It wasn't for them to discover themselves. God had a purpose for them to till the garden, to dress it, and to keep it. And the woman was to be his helpmeet. And so all that mankind's purpose was involved in was doing that in service to God. And Satan comes along and basically says, no, God didn't say that. And this is what God's really afraid of, that if you'll eat this, you'll be like him, who has some competition. And so Satan worked in the Garden of Eden to deceive Eve. And she ate the fruit and gave it to her husband also, and he did eat. And their eyes were open. They both were naked, and they knew it, and they were ashamed and so forth. And so that's how sin entered into the human race. And Satan is a deceiver, a master deceiver. He works without detection. He works very subtly, and so that people don't really know. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works today because God has disclosed how the devil works by denying the word of God, by lying about the word of God, by putting down truth and giving man an option to believe in instead. And that's what Satan did. He first denied the word of God, and then he told Eve, this is what God really said. And so that's a dangerous 1-2 punch. And if you're not careful, you can get sucker punched by the devil. The Bible is God's absolute truth. That shouldn't shock anybody in a church. But you'd be surprised how many people don't believe the Bible is the absolute authority of God. And if the Bible is not true, then we may as well go fishing like Peter said of old. And so thank God for our Bible today. Now God told Lucifer that, you might have said these things in your heart, Lucifer, said it's not going to happen. I am going, and what I was saying about the Garden of Eden is that, Satan wanted to make that all about Eve. And when you eat this fruit, you will be like God, and you this, and you this, and you that. And that's what Satan does today. He makes everything all about us. Your life will never have true purpose and meaning until you find your God-given purpose, which is to, we're here on this earth to glorify God. In glorify, you know, people will try to find themselves. What am I here for? And what makes me happy? And what's going to bring me fulfillment? And they go through the world's gamut of all the things that you ought to do, when all we have to really do is come to the foot of the cross and realize that I am created in God's image for his purpose, for his fellowship, for his enjoyment. And when we find our God-given purpose, that's where we have true joy. That's where we have purpose of life. That's where life takes on meaning. That's where people are born again and just coming to a right relationship with the Lord. Satan wants to circumvent that and get people to somehow find themselves outside of God's will. So Satan was told by the Lord, you're not going to ascend to the above the stars of God. You're not going to exalt yourself above the stars of God. In fact, you're going to be cast down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And we find this being fulfilled in Revelation 16:13. The Bible says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So these unclean spirits come out. This is a satanic trinity, just like God has a spirit. The unholy trinity has a spirit. And the Bible mentions these three, dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Then we read in Revelation 19, verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So all three of these, the dragon or Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, all three of them, this unholy trinity, the Bible says, are going to wind up in hell, just like God said back in the book of Isaiah. You're going to be cast down the sides of the pit. And we read in Revelation that all three of these, that's where they end up at. Now, God tells us that the Antichrist in Revelation 13, verse 18, here is wisdom. Well, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So the Bible tells us that the Antichrist has a name, and his name can be known by the number of his name, and this is his number. So what in the world does that mean? Well, there are several systems known by different names that give numerical value to letters of the alphabet. For example, in the Greek alphabet, that numerical system is called one thing, and the Greeks have a system where their alphabet also has each letter of their alphabet has numerical value. The English alphabet, there's a system that gives the English letters also numerical value. The Hebrew language and the Greek language also, and as well as the Arabic language, all have these systems where they give numerical value to the alphabet. Now, I don't know which, the Bible makes it clear here in verse 17 and 18 that one of these systems is going to be in use. May not be the English equivalent, maybe the Greek or Hebrew, maybe an Arabic, I don't know. But there's going to be some language where the Antichrist's name is going to be known by the number 666, or 666. Now, say, well, why doesn't God just name who he is? Well, because if God named the Antichrist, God knows who he is, and God knows what his name is. God could tell us what his name is, but then the Antichrist, who is an imposter, doesn't want his cover blown, he would just change his name. And so God doesn't tell us what his name is, but tells us what the number of that name is. And I don't know what the name will be. I don't know who he is. People try to figure out who the Antichrist is. But the Bible says that he's going to appear. Then shall that wicked appear. In other words, after the rapture takes place, that's when the Antichrist is made known. Now, God also identifies this man by calling him the man of sin and the son of perdition. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. In other words, people falling away from the faith. We're told in the book of Jude that we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And rather than people contending for what is true, Satan has been working and exchanging truth for lies, and people have accepted this. That's how we know that we're in the last days, because the Antichrist is going to come after the working of Satan, which has been to water down truth, and so that people in the last days will not even endure sound doctrine. We mentioned that in Sunday school. And the Bible calls him, it says that he shall not come except there come a falling away first. People falling away from the faith, falling away from truth, and what we call apostasy, departing from the faith. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So God calls him the man of sin and the son of perdition. What about this beast? Well, we know, first of all, that he is going to be the epitome of humanism, the ultimate egomaniac. We're hearing more and more about egomaniacs, about people who just are a narcissist. They're ultimately filled with themselves. They're just so full of esteem themselves. They think that, you know, they're like God. And that's who the Antichrist is going to be. He's the ultimate egomaniac. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, the Bible says that he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there might be people who are on this earth, and people say, well, they think they're God on earth, but that's really stretching it. That might be maybe a little exaggeration. Because everybody who's ever tooted their horn or thought they were somebody, God has a way of humbling people. The Bible says that pride goeth before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so when people, we have Nebuchadnezzar, for example, as a prime example. Nebuchadnezzar came for 7 years. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar walked out of his palace one day and saw Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world, and he said, is not this great Babylon which I have built? And Nebuchadnezzar did oversee the building of Babylon and brought it to its highest pinnacle of glory, so that it was called one of the seven wonders of the world. But he took pride for it. And what God wanted to show Nebuchadnezzar, what Nebuchadnezzar learned after 7 years, his fingernails grew out like bird's claws. His hair on his body grew out like bird's feathers. He ate straw like an ox for 7 years. And finally one day, he came back to his senses after God used that 7 years in his life. He came back to his senses and he said, now I know and extol the true God. There's only one God, and he's able to abase those that exalt themselves in pride. He's able to lift up those who humble themselves. And Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson. So even a king like Nebuchadnezzar, God is able to bring down. But Satan, or the Antichrist, is that man of sin and that son of perdition, that he is going to go into the very temple of God and exalt himself above all that is called God, declare himself that he in fact is God. And boy, that's something. For somebody to have to be that brazen, that satanic, that much hating of God, that they would go in the very temple of God. Now, Satan knows he's a created being, but Satan knows no bounds. And in fact, when God asked Satan if he considered his servant Job, there was none like him in all the earth. God put bounds on Satan. Well, you can do this, but you can't do this. You can only go so far. Because if Satan could, I mean, he would not have any bounds. In fact, the Lord was being tempted by Satan. And the Bible says at one point that that Satan brought Christ to a high pinnacle of the temple and showed him all, in a moment of time, showed him all the kings of the earth. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms, for that is given to me. And whomsoever knows, I have the power, I have the authority that anybody that I want to give a kingdom to, I can. That is under Satan's power. He is a god of this world. And, of course, the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, and rebuked him. But he is going to be the epitome of humanism, the ultimate man of sin. He exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Humanism is the selfish, self-centered, me, myself, I deserve it. Only go around once. You hurt my feelings. And it's all about us today. I mean, that's our culture today in America. It's our culture in many parts of the world. And where, you know, people feel justified in killing someone so they can get what they want. And that is just a height of humanism. And Satan told Eve, basically was feeding her that humanistic lie, that you're going to be as God. You can do and say and have anything you want. It's right here at this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why wouldn't you want that? And so the lie of humanism is that we are our own God. We create our own destiny. And boy, people like that. They like that because I'm not accountable to anybody. I can do what I want. And there's even a song. I heard my nephew singing about this a few years ago. I'm free to do as I want. I don't know who sang it. I don't really care. But who in the world would have said something like that 100 years ago? But that's the music of today. That's the culture of our day-to-day. And the Antichrist is going to be the epitome. He will be humanism embodied. Number two, his message will be one of peace. Might surprise you that when the Antichrist comes, that he's going to try to sell his agenda by promising peace. And who doesn't want peace? You know, one of the reasons why President Trump was elected, among other things, was because he said, Democrats get us in the war, I'm going to get us. If I'd have been president, Russia would not have invaded Ukraine. I'm going to stop that war. I'm going to stop the war. And people like the idea of peace because it's our sons and daughters that are going there and being killed at politicians' whims. And so Trump is a man that was elected because they like that message that I do not like war, and he probably doesn't. Well, the Antichrist doesn't have any problem killing people. But he's going to try to sell his agenda to the world by promising peace, just like he promised Eve that you'll be like God. Well, that wasn't true. And neither is his promise of peace true. But people are, it's something they want. You know, I said before that the devil doesn't tempt people. I like liver and onions. Some people don't. They would just probably gag at it. I mentioned before that I don't like hominy. I was forced to eat hominy when I was a little boy one time. And anyway, the devil is not going to tempt me with a plate of hominy. And maybe he couldn't tempt you with some liver and onions. I mean, might get gagged. But what the devil does, he tempts people with something that they already want. They already desire. And he just dangles the carrot in front of them and gets them to come his way, gets them to take the bait. It's just a very real metaphor. And he's going to promise people world peace. And what he sells people, we're going to have world peace. And I think one of the things he's going to do to sell this idea is when the rapture takes place, you think about it. All the saints, all born-again people that are alive, when the rapture takes place, poof, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, are going to be taken off the earth. And that's what the Bible describes there in Revelation, or I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And that we which are those which have died in Christ, Paul said that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For those who are dead in Christ, we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together and meet them in the Lord. So shall we be with the Lord in heaven. And that's just a rough paraphrase, but that's the rapture there. And the the world behind is going to be wondering, what in the world happened to all these people? I don't know. There's been artist depictions of maybe aircraft crashing into to a tower because all of a sudden the pilot, who was a Christian, is raptured out, and all the babies in the nursing and the hospitals are gone, and maybe a doctor's in the middle of doing a surgery, and all of a sudden the doctor, poof, he's a Christian, he's gone. I mean, you can imagine these kinds of scenarios taking place a million times over in the world today when the rapture takes place, and all these Christians are taken off the face of the earth. And so what kind of a message will the world leader, the Antichrist, have to tell people? What's going to make sense to people? Well, I don't know what he's going to say, but I know that as we get into, and we are more and more and more and more, Christians are hated people, even in America. In many parts of the world, Christians are marginalized, they're under attack, the family and the Christian message. You can't go to the halls of Congress and pray in Jesus' name. You can pray to God in general, but you can't say in Jesus' name because that's too sectarian, it's too divisive. And because we want to represent all. So a Christian believes in this. What got Christians in trouble in the first century? They didn't just add Jesus to the roster of Roman pagan gods. They said, no, no, no. There is only one God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ who created all things. If they would have just added Christ to the roster of other idols, it wouldn't have been a problem. And it's our insistence that there is only one God, only one meeting between man and God is the man Christ Jesus, that Jesus is the only way. He himself said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so that's the exclusive, offensive message of the Christian, that there are not many ways to God. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. I know that offends people, but it shouldn't offend a Christian, because we know that to be true. And so his message will be one of peace, in that I believe he probably will say, well, you know, these Christians who go around saying that they're the only ones that are going to heaven, that they're the only ones, that they're God, they're Jesus, that all these gods and religions have been around for thousands of years, that they're false gods. Well, these Christians, really, we can't have world peace while we have these people going around and saying things like this. So they're gone. I don't think the Antichrist is going to take credit for removing them, but they're going to be gone. And what we need to do is unite around world peace. And I'm going to bring world peace. And the Bible says in the book of Daniel that by peace he shall destroy many. During his reign, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Even this man, the Antichrist, will fail to bring peace. As long as mankind rejects Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, there will never be any peace. A third thing about the Antichrist, or this beast that rises out of the sea, is he will disregard women. The Bible says in Daniel 11:37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. That's an interesting note there about the Antichrist, that he shall not have a regard or desire of women. People have surmised what that might be. I don't believe that it means that he's going to run roughshod over women, because I think I look at the world's momentum today and where things are going. I was just talking to someone yesterday about this, that in the last couple, 3 years, the Me Too movement, you know what the Me Too movement is? Where women who have been abused or raped or sexualized in some way in the past, they were afraid to come out because maybe in Hollywood, for example, or maybe they're working for a boss, a CEO, and he could fire them. He had the power to ruin their careers. And so they just allowed the abuse to take place. They didn't report it. And in the last couple, 3 years, I don't know what came about, but different women came out and said, you know what? I don't care if it ruins my career. I don't care what repercussions I may face. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And so they've come out. And other women have said, you know what? If they've got the courage to come out and face their accusers, I can too. And then somebody else says, well, me too. I also was abused. Well, me too. So it's called the Me Too movement, where all these women that have been suppressed and abused have come out and said these things. And so the momentum is now to believe women. So when the Bible says the Antichrist is not going to have any regard for women, I don't believe that he's going to run roughshod over them and think they're second-class citizens. It could be that he is either homosexual or he may be asexual, have no sexual preference whatsoever. I don't know. But the Bible makes this note about him that he will not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. Also, he is going to be Antichrist. He thinks that he is God or declares himself to be his God, and he's going to stand up to all others, including Christ. The Bible says he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's the Lord. Daniel 8:25. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. We just mentioned that. Daniel 11:37. Being Antichrist or against Christ, he is a counterfeit. So he's going to speak against Christ as the false Christ, the one that was crucified, and the one that these numbskull, lame brain people still believe that he is the real Christ. He's going to blaspheme him and declare that he is the real Christ. He is the true Christ. And so he's going to be anti-Christ, and because of that, he's also going to be anti-Christian. The Bible says he shall wear out the mighty and holy people and wear out the saints, Daniel 7, verse 21. And he's going to persecute God's people. And the nation of Israel has always been a hated people. And any people who become a Christian during the tribulation period, he's going to go after them and just wear them out, hunt them down like dogs and destroy them. He's going to be aided also by a well-known religious leader. Now, this is very interesting. He's going to be aided. The Antichrist is not going to be able to rise up outside of the help of a religious system. Revelation 18 describes for us the political system that the Antichrist is heading up. And the Bible just talks about the seven heads and 10 crowns and so forth, and 10 heads, seven crowns. And so Revelation chapter 18 describes this political system, whereas Revelation chapter 17 tells of the one world religious system. Both of these are Antichrist. And the political system the Antichrist heads up could not be effective except for the religious system that the false prophet uses to aid the Antichrist. In other words, a false prophet, a very well-known religious, a world-respected, a world-renowned religious leader, is going to head up this one-world religious system, and he is going to use that religious system and the power of its influence to aid and abet the Antichrist's political system. So once again, we're going to see a religious system, an entire world coming together under one religious system instead of having Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity and all these various religions. We're going to put them all in one, and the false prophet is going to head this one world religious system up, and he's going to cause this religious system and its power to give power to the Antichrist, and those two powerful forces coming together in a state type of a church is going to be unstoppable. And Revelation 13, verse 11 through 18, Revelation 16, 13 to 14 says about this man, this false prophet, that he is going to appear as a lamb, but speak as a dragon and do miracles by the spirits of devils. Now, my personal belief, the only person today that has the religious influence, the world influence, even if you are not a Catholic, the Pope seems to be a man who is able to say things that Vladimir Putin might consider, even though Putin's not a Catholic. They'd be Greek Orthodox. The Pope could say something that the leader, whatever his name is in China, that he would consider. And so Satan has granted this religious system, this kind of power, this kind of authority, where when he speaks like a dragon, he may appear to be religious, but he's going to speak like a dragon. He's going to speak on behalf of the dragon. And so that remains to be seen. But again, Revelation 17 describes that religious system. Revelation 18 describes the political system, and they too will come together. And then we know also that his reign, the Antichrist's reign, is going to be short-lived and troubled. And I don't want to take the time this morning to read, but if you want to write this reference down, you can write down Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, where the Antichrist is only going to, from the time he enters into the temple, he signed a 7-year peace treaty. 3.5 years later, he enters in the temple, sits there, declaring himself to be God, showing himself that he is God. And from that time, where the Antichrist is ruling the world, 3.5 years later, he's cut off. Not a very long time. Whereas God's kingdom, the Bible says, has no end. And you know, people sometimes think that you know, by following the devil, they can get what they want. But it's going to be for a short time. Eve never got to enjoy the lie that she believed she was going to get. And Satan is very, very convincing at putting the bait out where people, somehow he deceives people thinking that this is going to come to pass, and it will never come to pass. He'll always move the goalposts. He'll always move the carrot and keep you on life's elusive dream until one day it's too late and he pulls the mask off and says, gotcha, fooled you, got another one. And so don't fall for the devil's lies. But the world is going to, on a large scale, you know, I wish sometimes that, not that people are going to believe it, but when you see this, it's kind of like a dream taking place. You know the next thing and you want to stop it and warn the people in your dream. And it would, you know, if you could just get all the world's people together and explain all of this so that they could see it and maybe use some graphics up on the screen where people could say, oh, I never knew that. I didn't know that. Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, the Antichrist deception and the devil's deception is so powerful, and he's been doing it for so long. He's really, Bible says the Antichrist coming is after the working of Satan. So it's not like we're going to have revival and, you know, the world just going after God and just saloons and red light districts and immorality and you know, addictions and all these things are just going to stop, and we're just in a period of revival, and all of a sudden the rapture takes place and the Antichrist takes over. No. The Bible describes this as an ongoing event, that worship of the true God is getting less and less and less and less, and tolerance for truth is getting less and less and less. And while that's taking place, the rise of the Antichrist, that doesn't happen overnight. That has been taking place. And so we see the decline of true Christianity and the rise of satanic religion happening simultaneously. And then we read in the Bible that the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil himself will be lost forever. But keep in mind, the devil is a created being. He is the devil. The dragon is Lucifer of old. But the Antichrist is called the man of sin and son of perdition. These are human beings. They were born of Adam's race. And the false prophet, another human being. Both of these men had moms and dads, grandparents, maybe siblings. And so you have two men, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And both of these men have had tremendous access to the scriptures, as well as Satan. But they're going to find their demise with the devil. The Bible says that that hell was created for the devil and for his angels. And so not only will the false prophet and the Antichrist be in hell, or the lake of fire that burns forever and ever with brimstone, but anybody who takes the mark of the beast, anybody who dies outside of Christ, will be in the same horrible torment as well. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, humanism's hour is going to be a devastating failure. That's what the Antichrist is heading up. He's heading up. He's a man of sin. His name is the number of a man. He's going to head up humanism's best and final, ta-da, final hour being headed up. And it's going to prove to be a dismal failure. Maybe somewhere around 4.5 billion people are going to lose. If you look at the numbers in the Revelation, book of Revelation, you count it up, there's over 8 billion people in the world today. There are going to be around 4.5 billion people that are going to die in a 7-year period of time. That's a lot of destruction. Well, he's the man of sin. He's the one that's going to bring peace and cause and solve all the world problems with the mark of the beast and so forth. Humanism's best they have to offer is going to end in complete and what a travesty that people will have believed that. You know, there's a little sign out east of LaGrange, about 8-10 miles somewhere in there, on the north side of US 20. It's called the LaGrange Felix. And back in the early 1800s, a group of people came together and tried to start a commune there. But that commune fizzled out. It was where nobody really kept their own goods. Everybody worked together and put it into a common kitty. That way, when one of the person's not doing so well, somebody else then, we'll all share alike, we'll all be in this. Every time a commune or some kind of a community of goods where everybody got involved in something like it, is always ended in complete failure. The devil is going to have everybody in one purse. We're going to do with Medicare. We're going to do with Medicaid. We're just going to have all the worlds, and everybody's going to get equal health care, and everybody's going to have jobs, and we're all going to have food and all that kind of stuff. There have been so many models of this community that has failed utterly. What makes the people of the world think that it's going to succeed on a world scale? But that's exactly what the devil's going to sell people on. It ends in complete, obvious failure, not because it's going to implode of itself, but because God himself is going to destroy it. Apostate religion has already failed, but Jesus never fails. The Bible says he's going to come and destroy the beast with the brightness of his coming, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. The Lord's going to set up his kingdom, and the Bible said in the book of Isaiah 9, 6, that of his kingdom, of his rule, there shall be no end. I say all these things not because I'm afraid that somebody's going to worship the Antichrist, but don't be deceived. The Lord said, take heed, let no man deceive you by any means. We have to be aware of what's taking place in the world today. Father, thank you today for this message and what you, Lord, we would get suckered. There's no doubt about it. Christians, but Lord, we're forewarned. I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us truth concerning the Antichrist, concerning the end times. Thank you, Lord, that as John said, there are many Antichrists in the world, but there will be one Antichrist. I'm thankful, Lord, that you worked in such a way in my life years ago that I came to know thee, the only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one here today that, Lord, perhaps looks to themselves or looks to some other means of salvation other than in Christ, Lord, only you can open someone's eyes. Only you can bring someone to your Son. Jesus, you yourself said that no man can come unto him except the Father draw him. And so I pray today that the Father, the Spirit of God, would draw those that are lost unto yourself. I'm thankful that, Lord, you have an open invitation. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, burdened with sin. You said, I will give you rest. Thankful for that today. Pray for your power to work. In Jesus' name, amen.